Well, today we're going to do a new life in Christ, which somewhat we've covered before in earlier lessons, but this is kind of another maybe look at it. And actually the last, you know, we have this is the second of the five remaining classes. We had a review last week that Kurt started, and he'll finish that in the very last class, and then Randy's going to do a new presence and power of the Spirit, and Bob's going to do a new enemy. So these are some additional topics that Dr. Schaefer wrote about in his Grace book, so I kind of fit him in there, and then Kurt wanted to do a little review, so we kind of put it all together here. Hopefully it'll kind of reinforce what this class has been about, who we are in Christ. Okay, today we're going to look at a new life in Christ. So first of all, we're going to start off and look at the word life in the New Testament. And if you look up, if you have something like a Strong's, or if you have Vines, you look in there, you'll find that there are about nine different words for life. But there are three words that maybe are primary, and we're going to look at those three. And the first of those is psuche. And these words, there's actually, you know, with most words, there's a noun form, a verb form. These are all going to be noun form of Greek words. So usually in the New Testament, the meaning is a vital breath or life, the element through which the body lives and feels, the principle of life manifested in the breath. And it kind of reminds me of when in Genesis where it says the Lord breathed into them the breath of lives. You know, so life is inherent, and the breath is inherent in life. Let's say it that way. So there's some examples here. Actually, it's kind of interesting. We start looking at some of these examples, and you know, by looking at the original language, you kind of get a feel for how this, you know, what the Lord's really saying here. So in John 10:11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his breath, or his very life, for the sheep." So I thought it was kind of interesting. And actually, there are several along the same line as I'd like to look at in some other passages here in John. But this is not the only occurrence. I didn't do a tabulation, but psuche is not used as often as bios and zoe. Zoe by far is the primary word in the New Testament and the most elevated word. It's God's life that He imparts through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at John 10, kind of carry on with this laying down my life for the sheep. And John 10, can I get someone to read? I'd like to read 14 through 17 in John 10. Just kind of continue on with this thought about the Lord laying down His life for the sheep.
I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own knows me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for his sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again.
Okay, thank you. So kind of continuing on this idea, and life here is psuche. And so it's interesting this word is used of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, and if we look, turn to over a couple chapters in John 13, we'll see actually it's used of Peter. And this is where Peter is talking to the Lord. And in verse 37, Peter says, Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." Suke, Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times." So essentially this word is used for breath, the breath of life, if you will. So I'm just trying to give you a background. You know, we're not going to spend much time. This is on this word. This isn't the word that talks about the life that we have when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. But it is used in Scripture. So it kind of keep, maybe the balance as you look through Scripture and you're reading, you see the word life, you might you know, think about, well, which one is that? And you can look it up, you know, hopefully pretty easily. Okay, so let's go on. The next word is bios. And bios is, which is kind of the idea. If you kind of look down here, bios is from the word, the English word we get, biography. It's derived from a duration, means, or manner of life. Okay, so actually I have a bunch of examples here in this one. Let's look at Luke. And these examples, as you're going to see, that there's kind of modifying words. We're going to see the pleasure of life. We're going to see life and this other word kind of connected together. So let's look in Luke 8. And if you have a question, you can just stop me. Don't. Okay, Luke 8, 14. Can I get someone to read Luke 8:14?
And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection.
Okay, so this word for life, kind of, you know, the bottom part talks about this bios is referring to the duration, means, and manner of life. So in this one, there's like three aspects of that, right? The worries, the riches, and pleasures of this life are what's being talked about in terms of life here. And those are the things which you know, choke out the God's word, basically. People are so wrapped up in their worries and riches and pleasures. So this word we're going to see, next example of the affair, much an idea of manner and means of life. Okay, so this one in 2 Timothy.
No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who is the end of the soldier.
Right. So here it's the affairs of everyday life, or this life. Okay, then in John, 1 John 2:16.
In this world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Right. So once again, this is, you know, speaking of the manner, the means of life. Of, you know, my rendering has a boastful pride of life. You know, it's interesting. You look in the scene, you know, with all the political conventions. I think the pride of life just. Even though I like some of the candidates, I can't say I don't, but I just, you know, I'm kind of amazed at how you can spend so much time talking about yourself. I guess that's what it takes to get elected. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, 1 John 3:17. I'll go ahead and read this one. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, let's see, actually, I read that one. It's 3:17.
3:16.
Thank you. Okay. Well, there's a typo there. Okay, well, why don't you change that to, let's see. He loved the end of his life for his brother. Well, I'm not sure. What did I do here? Well, I'm not sure. Oh, actually, no, I'm reading. Let's go to 2. I'm actually in the wrong chapter. I'm reading the wrong chapter for one thing. It is 2:16. You're right. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. Okay, that was that one. And let's end 3:17. We'll keep going here until I figure this out. 3:17. Yeah, okay. Well, the only thing is, I don't have my... I'm wondering if that's really the right one. So there's a question mark about that one. Translate. Oh, I know where it is here. I know what it is. Actually, it is. This is supposed to be a special point. I don't look at my notes here. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of interesting here. In this case, who has a King James? Will we use your King James for 3:17? 1 John 3:17.
1 John 3:17. Mm-hmm. And whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?
Okay. Actually, in this case,
mark there.
Okay, that's true. Right. In this case, when it says the world's goods, that's actually this world. World goods is the word bios. So you could say the world's livelihood. So if you wanted to translate it and connect it to life. But this is one of the cases where, and actually I didn't make the correction I wanted. Actually it's translated good in this figure, or goods, the world's goods. And that's why it got me confused here. I may actually confuse you at the same time. So I apologize.
So,
go ahead.
Is 16 then psyche?
Actually 16 probably, I would say 16, you know.
Yeah, 16 is okay.
Yeah. Is that right? Okay, I don't have something.
Yeah, 16 is, but 17 is bios.
Yeah, 17 is bios. And that's why, you know, when you go through, that's one of the reasons I'm going through doing this, is just, you know, there are different words, and they're kind of all, it's not a mask in the English. You say, well, life is life. And so there's a little additional information. And the translators pick up on that. In this case, they chose to translate it world's goods over world's, you know, livelihood, or I'm not sure how what do I have here? I don't know. So let's go on to the next one here. Luke 21:34.
Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day will not come when you're suddenly like a trap.
Right. Okay, so it's the worries of this life, or the cares of this life. So, and bios is a pretty, is, you know, Zoe probably is the most frequent, and then you have bios as a second. So I picked some, so this is, you know, if you have your computer and you were to do a search on this, you would find a lot of words. And they're not always in this category. So sometimes, what's interesting in the study, in what they call classical Greek, like the writings of Plato and that, you know, you go back and get insight into the Greek language. And this word bios was considered to be a much higher, more lofty word than Zoe, which we're going to see in a second. But in the Bible, that's flipped around. The Lord has taken Zoe, and Zoe is the primary word he's going to describe the life we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the classical Greek, it was not that way. That's just something I kind of came across in reading about these different words. Okay. So the third word, and the word we're going to spend the rest of the class on, is Zoe. We got our word zoology from that. It's used in the New Testament of life as a principle, life in the absolute sense. And the last two lines are life as God has it. This is God's life, which he imparts to man. There's really no life outside. You know, we say we live, but that's, in a way, we are living. We are living and breathing people. But the life that God desires for us is his life, and that life comes through his Son. Life as God has it, that which the Father has in himself, and which he gave the incarnate Son to have in himself. So there's just a ton of ones here. So kind of... And actually, I thought this is a good quote from Trench. He's a scholar that has a book on synonyms, which is really a neat book. If you're into synonyms in the Greek New Testament, I mean, that's something you sit around the house and, you know, when you nothing else to do. But it's a neat book. In there, he says in the New Testament, Zoe is a more noble word and expresses the highest and best that the saints possess in God. Right, and all the places you're gonna, you know, you would think, all the places you think the word Zoe is, it probably is Zoe. All the ones that talk about eternal life, life from God, are going to be Zoe. So it's kind of neat. And actually, you know, I didn't draw a picture, but you could draw a picture, like, I sort of like boxes, but Everybody has his own. You can draw three boxes here. And this life from God. Let's see how I want to do that. Okay, so the Father, you know, he has Zoe, and it says we're going to find out that the Son, and then to the Christian. So there's this progression in Scripture that talks about how the Father has life in Himself. He gave that life to the Son, and the Son gave that life to the Christian, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. So that life comes from God and comes to the believer through faith. So I was going to draw a whole picture, but I never got to that point. But it wasn't. Okay, so let's just look through some examples. And I'd like to have these examples all be top to bottom, but I didn't work out exactly that way. So if you look at these examples, they're kind of lofty, if you will, the crown of life. Let's look at this one, Revelation. In fact, there's a whole bunch in Revelation here. Revelation 2:10. It says, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, and you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." And then Peter talks about life and godliness. I'm not going to read all of these. And then in 2:7, in Revelation, if we go back up in the same chapter, it talks about, "He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat in the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." And then we have life and immortality. So this word Zoe is the highest form, God's life that the believer has through faith in His Son. Then in 2:15 we have the book of life. I won't read that one. The books are open and there's a book of life. And the life of God in Ephesians, not being excluded from the life of God. And then we have in 21:6 the water of life. And the endless life, or indestructible life, in Hebrews. So next, what I'd like to do is just look at the life that the Lord Jesus had. Oops. Okay, let's try that again. That's interesting. There we go. The light is so slow. Okay, so this section here, we're kind of talking about this aspect here. The Father gave life to the Son. And then we have a bunch of verses that describe that, what that's all about, the Father giving life to the Son. So in John 5:26, let's just look at that for a second, John 5:26. So here's a verse that's going to describe my picture here. It says, "For just as a father has life in himself," the Father has life in himself, the Zoe has life in himself, "even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." So the Father has life in himself, and he gave life to the Son. Okay, so we're going to keep going here. And then in we turn back to chapter 1, very familiar passage here. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and life was the light of men." You know, and what we're going to see as we kind of get into this a little bit more, we're going to see that if you think about it, life came from God. Life came from the Father to the Son, to the believer. So, let's see, without giving it away here, I'm trying to see how I ask this question. What would you expect this, what would be the character of this life that God is going to give to, well, we know it's eternal, excluding eternalism. I can't think how to say it without just telling you. Okay.
Roger, I think 524 kind of answers that.
Okay, all right, good. And back to...
we had 26, but go back to verse 24.
Okay. All right. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Okay, well, that's good. That's a good point. But I had another point, and I'll just go ahead and tell you my idea. I'll tell you my idea here rather than just, you know, torturing you. And what's neat here, if you think about anything that comes from God has to have his very character, right? We have the very life of Christ. We're in him. That very character has all of God's attributes. Well, what's neat is this life has to be a holy life. It can't be otherwise. God's not going to give us an unholy life. He's going to give us a life that is holy and righteous and just. And, you know, and that's what we've been talking about in this class, about the riches of God's grace. We have this wonderful life of Christ, which has all these attributes. And so this life is a holy life. And that's something that I didn't really pick up on. I mean, it was there. I knew it, but I just didn't think about it. And that kind of, you know, that's kind of wonderful. The life that we have from God is something that the world can't even imagine. It's a life, it's his very life in his son. And we have that life as a gift, as a possession that we have because we, by faith have trusted him. That's our position again. All these things are our position in Christ now. The question is, will we abide with him, remain with him, dwell with him? Will we hang out in this life that we have? And we don't do that. I mean, that's, you know, we get drawn away by the world, but we have that life from him, that wonderful life that comes through faith in him.
So, yeah. Roger, God in this, a new life in Christ, God the Son in life, the Father gave life, is that Zoe?
Oh yes, yes. All these are Zoe. Okay, I probably should. All the rest of these and the rest of the page are all Zoe.
Okay, all the way down.
Yeah. Okay. All the ones on what page five you're saying?
Page three.
Okay, let's go back here. No. Page three. Page three is the ones for bios. Well, okay. Chart three, right?
The Father gave life to the Son.
Oh no, it's five. It's five.
Okay.
A little
far. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay. So this whole section, this chart five.
Right.
On page three.
I know, we got page three. Okay. I know, chapter nine. We got too many things here. Okay.
So those are all Zoe.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, my intent was to show you that I was kind of building up to Zoe, and the rest of this we're going to talk about Zoe. Zoe is a word we're going to talk about for the rest of the class. I was just trying to show you the other words since. So, we're talking about this life that the Son has, the Father has, he gave to the Son. So this chart is talking about the Zoe life that came from the Father to the Son.
Okay, Roger. In John 5:26.
Okay.
We know that Jesus also had bios because he was a man.
Uh-huh.
So he gave life to the Son. Does that mean through the Holy Spirit? I'm just asking.
Okay. Well, okay. In this context, I believe let's just look at 5:26 for a second. Let's go back and just look at. You know, Zoe is a word that is used to talk about the life the Father has, this holy life that comes from him. It's not really focused so much on the physical, I don't think, in this verse.
It says, "For just as the Father
has life in
Zoe.
Himself, he has Zoe in himself. Even so, he gave to the Son also to have Zoe in himself." So it's talking about this eternal life which existed with the Father who he gave to the Son. Right? Now, what you're saying is the Son is also a man, right?
Right.
Okay. This verse, I would say, is not addressing that issue.
I understand it.
Okay.
But what you're saying is that he had two lives. He had bios and he had Zoe. And the Zoe most likely would have come through the Holy Spirit, right? And that would have been at the beginning of his ministry when the dove came down upon him.
Well... We have to go back to, we also read here, in fact, I just read it here. Let's go back to John 1:4, right? Christ, you know, he appeared as a man, right?
Right.
But he had, in the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So, in eternity past, he was with the Father. They were one. They had God's life, right? But when Christ came as a man, I think that's what you're addressing, right? He came as a man, came as a God-man. I guess I'm a little bit leery to say that he didn't have the life from God as a God-man, and that the Holy Spirit is, you know, in terms of his power, his ministry. I think about the fact. Someone else have a thought on that? I'm struggling with the fact that somehow when he became a man, he didn't have God's, you know, the inherent holy life of God. He was holy, you know, from eternity past to eternity future. He never ceased to be holy.
That's the only way he could be sinless.
I know, and so I'm struggling with that.
No more than exactly. The scribes and Pharisees and
right,
when he
right.
went at 12 to the temple.
Right, right. So,
but see, what I'm saying is,
okay.
If he was more than that, then when he came to earth, he didn't go through the normal temptations of sin because he had an extra power to do so, and I don't think that's correct either. Because
well,
he was tempted like man,
but without sin, right?
Without sin,
right? So Christ was the, you know, the exception. He never succumbed to that temptation, right?
But he did have the same temptations, isn't
he? He was tempted, right? But he didn't. He did not sin. No, I have no problem with. He was tempted, and we know that from Scripture. But
just as man,
right? But he did not sin. He was without sin. So I think in this context, the focus is on Zoe, the eternal life from God, the holy life from God, and that was unchanged from eternity past. He became a man. It was unchanged. Now he did have a physical body, but he was, and he was the Holy Spirit gave him power to, you know, that was involved in his ministry. So I don't know what that said.
So you could say then, in a sense, that Christ's condition and position were the same, which has never happened before.
Right.
So he was able, as a man, in bios, to
right.
live Zoe.
A holy life, right.
In perfect harmony.
Exactly. I mean,
a man cannot do that because we definitely have a fallen condition, but we have a Zoe position.
Well, or you can think of it this way. You think about natures. We have
right.
two natures, right? Christ only had one nature. He didn't have a fallen
right.
nature. So I think that right there. And that's what's going to happen to, you know, in eternity, we're going to have one nature.
And that's why he keeps saying in the Gospels all the time that he and the Father are one.
Right.
That he does what the Father tells him to do. This perfect harmony between him and the Father.
Because he did not sin. Go ahead.
I have a serious doubt about the idea that he got his Zoe through the Holy Spirit, because it seems
what?
To me that he was autonomous with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and he didn't need God already.
That was kind of my point. That was, I hope
and
I didn't.
He didn't need the Holy Spirit to do miracles because he was God.
Well,
I don't think he needs to get life.
He has no.
As far as
he has
eternal. Being that was God.
Mm-hmm.
He had that.
Right.
And he didn't need to ask for more.
Yeah.
Because
right.
he had it.
Yeah. Well,
you know, or whatever.
Okay. Okay. But it is interesting in this verse, and I think that's where Stan kind of went down this path. It says the Father gave the Son life. So the question is, well, when did that happen? Or, you know, and that's a tough, I don't know. That's a tough question. I'm not sure. I would say, I mean, that's eternity past as far as I don't think it happened.
Well, God didn't have a beginning, so,
right.
you know, and it was always the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Plus
so,
also,
he can't have. You know, they just were.
Mm-hmm. But Scripture does say, you know, and we're going to see that Scripture does talk about the Father giving life to the Son, and that's not in several verses that's talked about. So,
and also the fact that as man, he was tempted. And if he had something, you know, other than man, then it was an unfair case, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In other words, he met the temptations with extra ordinary abilities and powers, and so it really wasn't a fair comparison between Christ and man. But when he died sinless.
Mm-hmm.
As a man, having walked through this earth, mm-hmm. as I understand it mm-hmm. anyway, as a man and God.
Right.
So this is all wrapped up in the mystery of how you can
have
both.
Have both, right.
And still be, you know, still be God, but still be man.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think maybe is more than I can understand.
And you're not alone there. That's so.
Now, Roger, when you look further here in John 5,
mm-hmm.
Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son that life,
mm-hmm.
and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is a son of man.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Okay.
So I think this life here we're talking about is Christ when he came as a man. Well, he had Zoe, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he also had Zoe again as a man.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm getting at?
Well, he was given, Christ, Christ was given the title.
Right.
Yeah, he's the Son of God and the Son of Man. That's a wonderful, what they call the hypostatic union of God and man.
Not have that Zoe of mankind, because he hasn't become a man yet.
Mm-hmm.
When he took on humanity, then he also had Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I'm trying to.
Yeah.
That's how I
see
that.
He gave up the glory, but he didn't lose any of his godliness.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But it says in Philippians 2:5 that he came in the likeness of man.
Right, right.
Whatever likeness of
well,
man.
Well, he looked like a man. I mean, he didn't look like, he didn't,
right.
If he revealed his glory, you couldn't stand in his presence, right? So, I mean, he looked like a man.
That's why he needed to be a man.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But he came in the character of God.
I don't know whether we're going to answer this question.
He isn't physical. Always
anyway.
And forever, always and forever, Zoe.
Right.
But when he came for us.
Right.
He got the bio.
Well, he came in a physical body, right?
Well, he has a new bio too, in his glorified body.
Right.
A different bio.
Well,
he is all.
Anyway.
Okay, Roger.
Well, when he died on the cross,
uh-huh.
when he died,
he
was separated.
Right.
I mean, he gave up his life.
Mm-hmm.
That human
did God life. Then give him back his own life?
Okay. That's interesting. I don't know. You guys are asking great questions. I'm not sure I can answer them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, why don't we continue on here? I'm not sure I'm going to answer. Do any more damage I've already done. Let's keep. I think it's good to kind of trace through and look. One of my intents here was to look at the life that the Son had and the different phrases from Scripture. I have about a couple more after this, and then look at what the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ had and look through those. So let's look through those and see if we can, you know, something will come out of this. And so there's some good questions, and I'm not sure I can answer all those questions. In Acts 3:15, he's called the Prince of Life. And it says he himself gives life to all in Acts 17:25. Let's look at that one just for a second. Acts 17:25. Let's go back to 24. Yeah, okay. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, neither is he served by human hands, as though he needs anything, since he himself gives life, gives to all life and breath and all things. So Christ is both the source of this Zoe life, as well as the physical life, too. He talks about giving breath. And actually, I didn't look up the translate what word is used there. I'm not sure it's necessary. It could be a form of psuche. I'm not sure. Okay. And then basically in John 14:6, he makes a statement You know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the singular life, the Zoe life. And then one more I didn't actually write down in 1 John, 1 John chapter 1. And it's interesting, this is going to talk about how his life was manifested. And let's read verses 1 and 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our hand, with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So does anybody have in their linear by chance? Probably not. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I do.
In verse 2, is the life was manifested, is that Zoe?
Yeah, in 1 John.
1 John 1, 2?
Let me get there.
Okay.
1 John 2.
1, 2.
1, 2.
1, 2.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting case. Now, here's a case. This is somewhat wrapped up what we've been talking about. So here it's talking about the Zoe life was manifested. So what's interesting is, and it's not, you know, not something startling to us as believers, you know, Christ, his holy life was manifested when he came to this earth, even though he was in a human body. They saw this was, he says, you know, from many accounts, you truly are the Son of God. His holy life, his life that came from God, was manifested or revealed, made clear. People realize, and that's the same for the believer. The life that we have from God is to be manifested. People see that we're different. So, in all this equation of our physical and Christ's physical, the life that God has is revealed to mankind. Either the Son revealed it when he was here, was manifested to them. This is what John's saying here. His life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you eternal life. And as we interact with him, our life is manifested, this life from God. So, something to put in the equation of things here. Okay. Okay, so now, the believer in life, and there's just tons of verses here. I had a couple pages of verses here with this. So that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So what we're going to see that the only requirement to have eternal life, you know, and there's a singular requirement in the New Testament. And it's this word pistuo, a belief or believe. And it's actually translated sometimes faith, sometimes trust. So faith, trust, and believe or belief are all kind of this one word, trusting what Christ has done. And once we have done that, we have eternal life. So whoever who believes in him, in his person and his work, in the gospel basically, has eternal life. And then in John, some of these, we just read a bunch of these already. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes, so we hear his word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Something I like to always think about, and you know, when you talk with people, and you know, they say, "Well, I have a good life. I don't need Jesus. I don't need Christ." But the thing is, Scripture says those people are dead, and it's kind of a startling thing when you do a little study on the dead, and that's the unbelieving world. They're the dead. It's kind of remember when Christ said, "Let the dead bury the dead." It's a startling thing, you know, a sobering thing. That's why they need to know about Christ. They're the dead. And that's where we were. We were dead in trespasses and sins. So we just aren't neutral. I mean, before a believer, I thought, well, I'm just neutral. I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to be a good person, and God's going to have to accept me. That was my worldview before I knew Christ. I'm just going to live really good. Well, I found out I couldn't live really good. It didn't work, you know, I couldn't do that. And the greatest day was when I said, you know, I'm a sinner. I was excited about that. I mean, it sounds kind of strange, I know, but realizing you're a sinner is a wonderful place to be, because you realize that you need a Savior. If you don't think you need a Savior, then you got some problems. All right. Anyway. So let's go on. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. All these are Zoe. And then in Romans, and basically that word may have is to possess. And all these are present tense. You possess life right now and presently. It's not waiting. Well, I'm going to get life in the by and by. And this is the thing about manifesting Christ's life. The believer has that wonderful privilege to manifest the very life of Christ. And then in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then John 10:28, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And this idea here is snatch is to grab away by force. Nothing is able we are secure in Christ. Nothing can change that. And then one of my favorite ones here is, and let's just turn to John 17. John 17. And this is the true Lord's Prayer. John 17, verse 1. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, and to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. So what's interesting is, here's another giving situation in Scripture. You know, we're a gift, and we had a once as one of our riches of God's grace. We're a gift from God the Father to God the Son, from this verse right here, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. So he desires to give eternal life to us. And then what's cool is in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So this is what makes eternal life, one kind of a trick question you ask, when does eternal life begin for the believer? What's that? Yeah, go ahead. That's salvation, you said? It begins when we believe, because knowing him, that they may know you, the only true God. So knowing Jesus Christ, this is eternal life. So all those who know Christ have begun our eternal life. I had a dear brother from another church. He used to say, 1,000 years from now, he would talk as a continuum, like his, you know, you have your earthly life, I'm 70 or 80 or 100 and I die. He just kept counting on. He says, well, you know, 1,000 years from now, I'll tell you this. He would kind of use that in a way to kind of get people relaxed about eternity. So, well, you know, 1,000 years from now, I'll talk to you about this or that or whatever. So, eternal life begins when we know him. What's that? Exactly, because we'll have a new body. I was talking with Doug, we don't have to worry about this old body breaking down.
1,000 plus.
Okay. All right. So, other last thoughts or... It is. Okay. All right. Let's close it. Dear Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for our time, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have eternal life and that knowing you starts our eternal life, Lord. We thank you that life was something that took your death on the cross to procure, Father. Thank you for that. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.